Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Hallelujah. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July, Independence Day. Hallelujah.
Independence Day. You know, it's funny. I just got a text from Big Anthony last night. Susie had me go by his house and drop off something, and so I kind of tuned him up a little bit on some things because that's what I do. And you know, he goes to the prison every other week with his boss Tim. And he's like, oh, I don't think I want to do this anymore. All I'm doing there, I don't get to do nothing. I said, maybe it's your attitude.
Come on.
So maybe it's your attitude. Maybe you actually had a message. Maybe God will let you preach some. So I just ripped him a new one. He just sends me a text. Ah, laugh out loud. Yeah. Talk about that. Tim called this morning and told me he wasn't coming, so I had to preach this morning. And I did a good job. I'm thinking, man, that's pretty good. It's like, wookie dokie. Today's message is called Independence, Interdependence, and Diversity in the Church. I'll say it again. Independence, interdependence, and diversity in the church. My key scripture is 1 Corinthians 12:21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, that I have no need of thee. Let me tell you something. The difference between independence, interdependence, and diversity is one word, maturity. I had to become independent from my old lifestyle to become born again, spirit-filled, full of God, to become interdependent upon the body to fulfill my commission. And if you have a critical attitude, you will not allow diversity in the body because you think it's all about you. Have you ever wondered why people are the way they are? They all come from different backgrounds, and in certain degree, these backgrounds determine who they are, what they believe, how they think, and how they respond to any situation. The core value parents instill in their children depends on a great part of their culture. When you grow up in a context in which is independent, usually accompanied by individualism that was instilled in you. The value of independence was never put before you other than through culture. The urban planning models of most places where we lived consist of single family homes, yards separating the homes. The further you travel from the city in your individual form of transportation, your car, that little smart, I lost it there. The greater distance between the houses seemed to be. The unexpressed culture value is separation and not independence. Or independence. Obviously, this is a general observation and a historical reality. There are always exceptions to the rule. But listen, America is independent. Our culture is, I made it my way. I did it my way. We separated. You know, we're celebrating a holiday from separating from a tyrant king. Let me tell you something. When you were serving the devil, there was a tyrant king. Okay, so you've got to go and get released and find freedom. And the cross does that. I had to find freedom from my addictions. I had to find freedom from my sin. I had to find freedom from my identity that was false because I believed lies of who I thought I was. But then I found Christ and my identity came into alignment of what he said I was. I still had to get free from what I thought. I had to become dependent. Not on you. Not even on the church. Let me tell you something. When the church tells you that you have to come here to have a relationship with God, then they've made the church God. But when you come to maturity, then you'll recognize you'll never fulfill your calling without being involved. okay? I got to be mature enough to be independent, to get mature enough to be interdependent and value the diversity around me. What is independence? I don't know. The most widely studied set of American parental beliefs concerning independence. And in recent years, many researchers have come to believe that independence is a culturally a specific goal of child rearing. We as parents in America, this is a survey, is we consider it, if we can make our child not dependent on us, independent on themselves, then we're successful. You know what we've bred into our children? Lawlessness. Rebellion. Lack of family. Believe it if you want, I got notes. What is independence? Obviously, the word independence shares something in common with the word dependence. However, the prefix in causes the meaning of the two words to become polar opposites. One dictionary defines independence as not being influenced or controlled by others in matters of opinion, conduct, thinking, acting for oneself, not subject to another's authority or jurisdiction. Not relying on others or others to aid or support, refusing to be under obligation to others. So if you've got an independent spirit, you're an island unto yourself. How's your marriage working out with that little rascal? I guess you're not married to Miss Susie. Many times the concept of dependence is associated with small children, elderly people, mentally or physically handicapped persons. Dependence demonstrated in the lives or attitudes of any other is normally viewed negatively, if not hostile. A codependent generally refers to one side of a relationship between mutual needy people. The dependent or obviously needy part may have emotional, physical, or financial difficulties or addictions that seemingly are unable to overcome. This is a form of unhealthy dependence. One could assume that the opposite of unhealthy dependence is independence. What am I saying? I've been doing some counseling, and basically here's what I've been telling. Until you are able to stand on your own, be successful, know who you are in God, you're going to be less than what you're supposed to be. So when you marry somebody and the two become one, you're needy. I hate to say this. I don't need my wife to survive. I want my wife. But if she happened to die tomorrow, we got good health insurance, life insurance, right? I'll be rich. No.
Wow. She better not die.
Actually, I think I'm worth more money dead than she is. Maybe it's the other way around. No, but would she survive or would I survive? If you say you couldn't, then you're unhealthy. Let's get real. You're unhealthy. But if you're healthy, it'll be a struggle. It'll be hard, but you'd have to rely on God. But too much of the time we go into a marriage or we go into a relationship out of our neediness because we're not healed and are whole ourselves. And then it becomes really a bad relationship. And the very thing you want is independence. And then you get into an abusive situation and you want to get free again. Because you entered into it unhealthy. That wasn't on my notes. Most important point to understand is this position, both independence and interdependence, as alternative endpoints of maturity. Listen, if you're not mature, you won't be balanced in either one of those. Only the cross can bring unity between those two words. Here's what it says. You can have diversity in the church and develop interdependence with each other and be independent in your thinking. I'll say that again. You can have diversity in the church and develop interdependence with each other and still have independent thinking.
Amen.
I have figured it out. My wife does not agree with me all the time. She's wrong, but she doesn't agree with me. See, now, you guys think that's... But let me explain something. If she feels strong enough about it, she makes me relook at my position. And she's not offended if I don't agree with her. Trust me, she goes shopping. You don't agree with me, watch this. Ching, ching, ching. She doesn't get mad, she gets even. I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, for I have no need of you, 1 Corinthians 12:21. For example, a farmer in rural Texas rancher will have a different outlook on life than a man who grew up in New York City. A boy who grew up in the inner city streets of New York is going to see life differently than one who grew up in Oklahoma. Or a girl who grew up with her poor grandmother and whose mother had five husbands is going to view things differently than a girl who grew up in a white-collar house and never knew anything but financial security and a solid home life. We are all different. Likewise, a believer's background in church will often have a strong influence on how he or she views different church issues, such as doctrinal debates, worship should be this way or that way, or how the government of the church should be functioned has a lot to do with the way you were raised, especially in church. For instance, if you grew up Assemblies of God, Pentecostal like I did, you may see the Catholic Church as very formal. If you grew up in Methodist or Church of God, it might seem radical to you. Or if you were raised charismatic, yoo-hoo, dance flags and everything else, Assemblies of God may seem denominational. But the problem is, we all love God. We are responsible. How we respond to these different spiritual environments largely depends on our spiritual environment that we are most familiar with. Was worship different today? I have figured it out. We don't have the same service every week. We attempt to, but it never works out for us. No, but we have an outline with a lot of freedom. And that's not wrong. You have an outline with a lot of freedom to go do it. Or are you going to go, wait. Hang on, let me go get my Bible before I lay hands on you. I got to make sure I said this exactly right. No, that person's going to die while they're waiting on you. You go heal them. Go cast that devil out of them. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that. Personally, I was raised in a good home, but was very strict with religious beliefs and in some areas, religious abuse. I'm glad my dad doesn't do internet. But my sisters do, and they will tell on me. My parents loved me, and I knew it. Even when they disciplined me, I was aware of their love. I kissed mom and I hugged dad when I arrived and before I left. And today, decades later, I still hug my dad before I leave. Now, I'm not calling as often, and I got rebuked last week from my wife because I hadn't called my dad in a few days. And so I called to appease her. And the first thing out of his mouth was, you know, you could call more often. I'm like, oh my gosh. Does my wife always have to be right? So now I'm putting it on my calendar. Call dad every 3 days, no matter what. The way I was raised has impacted the way I raised my own children and the way I treat my wife. And some of those were not good habits. Your family represents the most precious relationships you have in this world, and I believe that they should be treated as such. However, if a person grew up in a home where there was no one that touched them or spoke kindly to them or kissed them, said, I love you, have never heard these things, it's very difficult and later on in life for someone to tell you how much God loves you or to feel the touch of the Holy Spirit. If a person grew up with an abusive alcoholic parent or a family riddled with strife and neglect, he may struggle with significant emotional obstacles such as resident anger issues and fear of rejection. Do you understand that these are life wounds that if we strive, what will happen if we're not careful? Because of those life wounds, we will take this independent spirit and isolate. Rather than come to maturity and find someone that maybe has been healed where I need to be healed. I need you. I need you. This week, Susie and I got into a debate, and she basically challenged my spiritual fruitfulness. She's the only one in this room that can do that. The rest of you cannot. But my wife has an ability to do that to me, and it tweaks me. And so I went to the Lord. I said, all right, Lord, is what she's saying true? Is what she's observing true? Or she's just wrong? You know, or what is this? And finally, the Lord says, why don't you quit asking in a manner to be right and wrong? And why don't you ask me to reveal it to you? So I changed my position. I said, Lord, show me. Show me. And yesterday, I woke up at about 8, and I was on the phone from 8 to about 1. 4 or 5 different individuals that I counseled on the phone, that I gave revelation to, that I gave prophecy to, that when I got done about 1:30, I was tired. I'm like, man, I feel like I've worked all day. And he says, you have. Why? Because I'm proving to you that you're fruitful in your ministry. Look at these people that called you with life situations who just needed a piece of wisdom, who needed a piece of encouragement, and they knew to come to you. He said, you are fruitful. Now get over it. Well, what was the assumption? That I wasn't. See, because my old wound is I worked my way to heaven. So if I'm not fruitful, I might go to hell. See, that's my old religious belief. I mean, and the way I was raised, so this message means a lot to me. The way I was raised, an argument between the house and church, you could go to hell. A fight, you know, Susie's mom, you know, she had preached the rapture so much when they couldn't find mom, they thought it had happened. But we were raised hardcore Pentecostal. You can say something, you can do something wrong. I can't imagine. Can you imagine a God in heaven going, okay, I'm going to come now while you can go to hell? That's not a good God. He's not up there with a stick wanting to whip you every time you mess up, or he actually wishes none would perish. Do you realize his wishing is greater than your ability to sin?
Come on.
His wishing that none would perish compensates your inabilities, compensates your weakness and your sin. I wish that none would perish. His wishing is greater than my ability to sin.
Come on.
I just thought, you need to write that down. That's pretty good.
I'm going to write it down.
But seriously, he doesn't want us to perish. But in my upbringing, in Randy's upbringing, Randy's got worse stories than me. I don't even know if, are you saved? You know. Listen, in our upbringing, if you didn't do it certain ways and certain, if you didn't, you know, Shonda Honda, you know, Randy bought a Honda because, you know, they were all in one accord, you know. That's how religious you can be. Your upbringing. Listen, if you're not careful, your upbringing. Your genesis, how you started in your relationship with God will determine whether or not you can go further with what he's trying to show you. See, some of our independent spirit of I can do it has to be broken, because when you come to maturity, I can't get there without pain. Why? Because we're one. We're one. If you got Jesus in you and I got Jesus in me, is it a different Jesus? We're one. Dear Jesus, I need this today. Okay, Preston has it. Well, I don't like Preston. Well, then do without it. Do without it. We go back. Dear Jesus, I need this. Preston has it. I don't like Preston. I don't want relationship with him. Well, what you're telling God is I don't really want relationship with you either. Because the very portion I'm praying for is probably stuck in him. So how bad do you want God? So get over your independence, become interdependent, and start rejoicing in the diversity of the body. That's good preaching. Good. That was three pages. Let's just go to the scriptures right here. Paul said it to the church at Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The phrase no need of you in the Greek, and I'm not going to, it's chilion so oke, which implies the thought. That's what it, that's kind of redneck version of Greek. And you that know Greek are laughing. Which implies the thought, I have no occasion to employ your services. That's what it means. I don't need to hire you. What I'm basically saying is, God told us we're one, but I don't really need you. The other meaning is, you have nothing that is of any use to me. That's what it means. He said, we're one body. And with that critical independent spirit, we will miss dimensions of God. Personally, your marriage, corporately, this church. I mean, I think we have a calling in this city, or we wouldn't be here. But if you think we're everything, then we don't know how big God is. This city has need of the Baptist. This city has need of the Methodist. This city has need of the Pentecostals. This city has need of the Seventh-day Adventists. This city has need of the Episcopal, of the Presbyterian. This city has need of them. Amen. And until you recognize that we're interdependent, you'll never see the wholeness of the kingdom. I got connected with a Lutheran pastor years ago. He wound up, he came in my store and I shunned a Hyundai on him. Messed him up bad, big time. To the point where he called me his Pentecostal friend. And so I, you know, they wear the collar and the whole nine yards, and we had Tommy Tenney in town. So I invited him to a Tommy Tenney meeting. And so he's sitting next to me and said, we're about third row down, and Tommy Tenney's praying, power of God. I mean, the power of God is moving, baby. I mean, he just, well, God sticks him to the seat. He can't get up. He's trying to get away. And the Holy Spirit's like, boom, sticks him to the seat. I'm like, I said, what's up, Paul? What's up? He goes, I don't know what the hell it is, but it's divine. I'm like, did he just say that? I don't know what the hell it is, but it's divine. He goes, I think God just stuck me. I can't move. I'm like, well, maybe he wants you to sit there and listen for a while. So finally, Tommy Tenney gets him up. And here's this priest in our city. He's a minister. And he says the same thing. He goes, I don't know what the hell that was. That was divine. You know, it's like, what the hell? Divine? What was this? That was different. His culture. But when his bishop had cancer, and he was praying to God to heal his bishop, he calls me. My bishop wants you to come pray for him. I told him about you. Come on. Here's what he said. He said, you have a different culture and you have a different dimension of God. Come on. We need it. Hallelujah. We need each other. Amen. I'm independent enough to know God in dimensions that some of you won't go after him. But I'm not so independent that I have no need of you. Paul was stressing, you cannot say you have no use for others in the body of Christ. Paul's illustration is very plain to understand. A body must have all the parts in order to be complete. A body without hands can think, but it can't touch. A body without eyes can smell, but it cannot see where to walk. A body without feet may see where it needs to go, but it cannot walk because it has no feet to carry it. Every part is necessary of the human body to function normally, and so is the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be done. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, we're all made to drink of one spirit. Verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, do not belong to the body, that would not make any less a part of the body. Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body was an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chooses. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts and yet one body. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on these parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow a greater honor. And our unprecedented parts are treated with greater modesty. There's the keys right here, guys. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, we all suffer. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. God is going to pour out the Father's love to the revelation that we are one. If we are in Christ, we are one. I don't care where you started. I'm going to tell you where you're ended. We're one. And I have need of you. You have need of me. We have need of each other. Our nation has an independent spirit. But the body of Christ has got to get back to the family of God in need of one another. Stand to your feet. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, you are so wise, and we thank you for your wisdom. You have placed every member of the body as it pleases you. According to your divine plan, our differences are designed to complement and complete each other. Thank you for the relationships you've given us. They are like iron sharpening iron, and sometimes there are sparks. Holy Spirit, I receive your wisdom and counsel on how to interact with each other and those that you have put in my life, those who make me complete, and those I help complete. Give me wisdom not to allow differences to divide, to separate me from them. Instead, I choose to yield your work by the Holy Spirit to allow our differences to produce a satisfying experience and a sanctifying love. Please confirm in me the image of Christ so that others can see you in me and I can see you in them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages. Read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.